Elias.
Vata.
Indeed.
Ati.
Very much.
Adbhutam.
This incident is wonderfully astonishing.
Eshaha.
This child.
Rakshasa.
By the man-eating demon.
Balaha.
The innocent child, Krishna.
Nivritim.
Taken away just to be killed and eaten.
Namitaha.
Went away.
Abhyagat punaha.
But he has come back again unhurt.
Himsraha.
One who is envious.
Swapapena.
Because of his own sinful activities.
Vihinsitaha.
Now that demon has been killed.
Kalaha.
Because he was envious and polluted.
Sadhu.
Any person who is innocent.
And free from sinful life.
Samatvena.
Being equal to everyone.
Oyat. From all kinds of fear.
Vimuchyate.
Becomes relieved.
Translation.
It is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he has returned without having been killed or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel, and sinful, he has been killed for his own sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. You can repeat.
It is most astonishing
that all of this innocent child
was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten.
He has returned without having been killed
or even injured.
Because this demon was envious,
cruel and sinful,
he has been killed for his own sinful activities.
This is the law of nature.
Any innocent devotee
is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And a sinful person is always vanquished
for his sinful life.
So purport by his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Purport. Krishna conscious life means innocent devotional life, and a sadhu is one who is fully devoted to Krishna, as confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 30. Abhajate mam ananyavat saru eva samantavyaha. Anyone fully attached to Krishna is a sadhu. Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and other coward men could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, plain as a human child, and that his life was not in danger under any circumstances. Rather, because of their intense parental love for Krishna, they thought that Krishna was an innocent child and had been saved by the Supreme Lord. In the material world, because of intense lust and desire for enjoyment, one becomes implicated in simple life more and more. Kama esha, krita esha, rajo, guna, samho, balaha. Therefore, the quality of fear is one of the aspects of material life. Ahar nidra bhaya maitunam cha. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, the process of devotional service, sravanam, kirtanam,
diminishes one's polluted life of material existence, and one is purified and protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanaha. In devotional life, one has faith in this process. Such faith is one of the six kinds of surrender. Rakshasyatiti Vishwasaha Hari Bhakti Vilas 11676. One of the processes of surrender is that one should simply depend on Krishna, convinced that he will give one all protection. That Krishna will protect his devotee is a fact. And Nanda Maharaj and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan accepted this very simply, although they did not know that the Supreme Lord himself was present before them. There have been many instances in which a devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj, has been put in difficulty even by his father, but has been saved under all circumstances. Therefore, our only business is to become Krishna conscious and depend fully on Krishna for all protection. So, Aho Vatat Yadbhutam Mesha Rakshasa Balo Nivrittim Gamito Vyagat Punaha Imshrasva Papaina Vihim Sikha Tolo Sadhu Samatvena Boyam Vimu Chate Omagana Nabanda Shah Nanjana Shrapaya Tatsuna Meditam Yeda Tasmai Shigarvaya Namaha. So, the topic being mentioned here is technically called theodicy, which basically means the justice of God. In other words, justice in the universe and justice given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, we understand, according to the Brahma Samhita, Yatvendra Gopamatavendra Hosugama, that everyone in this material world who is not Krishna conscious, from Lord Brahma up to Indra Gopa. Indra Gopa is not Indra. He's the little buggy, the germ, the microscopic amoeba, paramecium, virus. Or whatever creature you have, or even the living entity in the heart, is all subject, a host of karma, is subject to karma. In other words, as the Bible says, as you sow, you shall reap. So everybody gets the results of his activities, regardless of who you are, whether you're Indra, whether you're Indra Gopa, whether you're Lord Brahma, it's all the same. Unless you're a devotee, as Krishna says in the Gita, the famous verse, Aham Pam Sarvapapevya Moksha Yashami Masu Jaha. That, don't worry, I will protect you from all these sinful reactions or pious reactions. But then there is a condition before you're protected. It's called Sarvadharma Purujaja. Mama come Sharanam Raja, which is a very interesting verse. And of course you all know that verse, hopefully. Sarva Dharma, that means give up all other conceptions of how you're going to be protected. Of course, it doesn't mean give up common sense. That's not what Krishna says. But he's talking about other religious practices other than worshiping Krishna. And of course, Krishna exhibited that particular lesson, or showed that particular lesson, in the Govardhana Puja ceremony and pastime which occurred around the Govardhana Puja ceremony, that Krishna was dissuading the residents of Vrindavan from worshipping Indra. Why was he dissuading them? Because he wanted to show them, Amikam Shatanam Vraja. You simply have to worship Krishna. Of course, Govardhana is also Krishna. It's not different from Krishna. And Lord Vishnu is also Krishna. As we know, Advaita, Chuta, Nadi, Anandurubhama, Adyam, Purana, Purusham, Navayovanamcha. that Krishna and all his various incarnations and Vishnu Bhava expansions are all exactly the same person, just acting in different circumstances. So, in other words, we have to give up all other types of mystic yoga, all the types of demigod worship, and it's very hard to find someone with that faith. What is that? Shraddha, Shraddha, Vishwas, Shakti, Sudrida, Nishchaya, as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The faith means simply by pleasing Krishna, then everything is accomplished. You don't have to worry about the demigod. Just like I do a lot of preaching in a country called Fiji. Some of you may have heard of Fiji. And it used to be called the Rakshasa Islands, Cannibal Islands. Not that the devotees ate people, but there were other people who ate people. So it's very hard to have the devotees have full faith. They have all these different conceptions. If they get sick, they'll go to the Muslim witch doctor to do some spells on them. They're worried about curses. They say, oh, my family has cursed me. Or they're worried about ghosts. I mean, there are ghosts. There are curses. There are witch doctors. There are things like black magic. There is voodoo. We're not denying the existence of these things. There's the dark side of the force, for those who know what I'm talking about. But we have to have that faith that simply by worshiping Krishna, you take care of all these different subtle energies and whatever, you know, what they call spiritual things, but subtle things that are happening in the material world. And a perfect example of that, because this is a topic that's one of the main topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is protection. You'll find so many stories about protection in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how a devotee is protected. So, let's say to illustrate this perfectly, how one should not take shelter of the demigods, is one story. It's not in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a story in the writings of the Acharyas. It's a story of this particular individual known as Chand Roy. Some of you may have heard this story. I've told it before. Anyway, Chand Roy was a dacoit. For those of you who don't know what that means nasty guy. It means he used to steal, do all sorts of things, kill, maim, do all sorts of crazy things to people. And what happened is that because of his sinful activities, he wasn't a devotee quite yet, he became extremely sick. And his father was a devotee. I mean, sometimes you have parents who are devotees and their son is a demon. And sometimes you have parents who are demons and their son is a devotee, right? Of course, it's interesting, the word devotee. Let me unpack that word for a second. It actually means one who has taken a vow. You understand? Devotee, you know, vrat. You know, it's English, it's not Sanskrit. Okay, it's vrat in Sanskrit. So one who has actually made a promise or taken a vow. Just like we become devotees. Of course, actually, in a higher sense, devotee means someone who is completely devoted. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not a devotee. If I was actually a devotee, if I had any devotion, I wouldn't be able to live because I'd be experiencing so much separation from Krishna in this world. So, but for common purposes, we call ourselves devotees. Are you a devotee of Krishna? No. I'm not a devotee of Krishna. I'm simply hoping one day to be a devotee of Krishna. Don't say that to people when you run into them in the street. You know, if they ask you if you're a devotee, you say, yeah, I'm a devotee. Even though you know you're not a devotee. You're aspiring devotee. So anyway, devotee means someone who has made a promise or vow. Devote, anyway. Apart from that, so this rascal Chandroy, his, at this point he was a rascal, his father was a devotee, and his father saw that his son was experiencing a big karmic reaction, because his son was not a devotee at that particular point. And so he naturally prayed and went to Narottama Das Thakur and said, please save my son. And simply by Narottama Das Thakur's blessings, Chandroy, you know, came back to external consciousness from a coma. And at that point, I guess he realized, I should be Krishna conscious. You know, sometimes there's a wake-up call, like a near-death experience or something like that, or a car accident. Something wakes you up. We've all, I think many of us have experienced this particular thing. Hey, this life is temporary. I get waken up every morning when I look in the mirror and see an old body. So every day I'm reminded, oh my God, the clock is ticking, the sands of the hourglass are running out very quickly. You know, you see these movies sometimes where that someone turns an hourglass and they say, you're going to die when the last step, last particle of sand reaches the bottom. So it's like that, isn't it? Prabhupada talks about the miseries here. Anyway, so fear, birth, death, disease, and old age. Anyway, actually, I was listening to a class this morning. Prabhupada, I was wondering, you know, Prabhupada always talks about birth being a misery. And in this particular context, Prabhupada was talking about how people talk about overpopulation. And he said, you can't stop people from being born. And he was referring to that as one of the miseries of the material world. Really interesting. Overpopulation. So anyway, get back to the story. So Chandroy, he came back to consciousness. He had a wake-up call, Satori, or whatever you may call it. And he became a devotee. You know, he started chanting his rounds every day, worshipping Krishna, and he accepted Narottama Das Thakur as his very life and soul. So, but the problem was that previously he was a dacoit. Not that he had any sinful reactions. All the sinful reactions were eradicated. But, there's a big but. But there was a king who was really upset with him, I guess, because what he did or what he wouldn't do anymore. And this king arrested him. He thought, now that Chandroy has become a devotee, you know, he's not going to fight back anymore. He's peaceful. You know, we can take advantage of the devotees. So he put him in jail. And so he was in jail, and his father, I guess his father didn't have complete faith in Krishna, even though his father was a devotee. So his father was thinking of ways to break his son out of jail. It's like, nowadays, of course, they'll bake a saw inside a cake, you know, for your birthday. And you can escape from the Hare Krishna movement. So they, anyway, so his father had this relationship with this shakta. That means someone who practices left-handed tantra, worships Durga, and this shakta had powers. So he could teleport himself. It's like now they talk about, different varieties of science where you have spooky action at distance. So using this particular means, black magic or left-handed tantra, he could teleport himself and actually teleport someone out, or beam me up or beam me down, as language is now. He could beam himself into the prison and take Chandroy out of prison. So he beamed himself in, Scotty. No, sorry. It was a wrong expression. So he beamed himself into the prison. And this left-handed tantric. And he said to Chandroy, okay, we're getting out. And Chandroy said, no, I'm not going to take shelter of demigod and these left-handed tantra stuff anymore. I'm a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna will always protect me. And you see, this is the devotee's one-pointed understanding, faith, determination, that Krishna's going to protect me. As I said, you know, I just want to clarify that that doesn't mean we don't use our intelligence in, you know, adjusting things like wearing a seatbelt and being careful when we're running up and down stairs, or if there's ice outside, be careful, you know, what you walk, how you're walking, or you're being alert in general. Doesn't, because that's part of Krishna's protection. Krishna also protects by giving us intelligence and physical ability. You know, it's not that if someone comes and starts beating us up, and we just say, you know, Krishna's going to, and we have the ability to fight. It's not that we just like sit there and just say, Krishna's protecting me, why isn't he doing that? Or, like if someone comes in here with a gun, you know, we're going to either run, hide, or fight. We have to be practical in the world. So anyway, but we don't take shelter of other, we don't worship anyone else other than Krishna for protection, or for giving us intelligence. As Krishna said, you know, Matakshmirti Jnanamakonam Chan, I'm giving people intelligence, remembrance, forgetfulness. So, getting back to the story. So Chand Roy remains in prison, but he's happy. He's chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You're in prison, you're not in prison. Just like Haridas Thakur one time was in prison, and he blessed the other prisoners. They were saying, we want your blessings. He said, bless. And they were chanting. And he said, I bless you to remain as you are. And they thought he was blessing them to remain in prison. But actually, he was blessing them to remain outside of the prison of this material world by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So Chandra wasn't suffering. Because a devotee, wherever he is, Narayana Parakstur De Nakuteshna Vibhiti Swarga Abhavanga Narakeshu Apitoryarta Adarshana, then he's simply with Krishna. He's heaven or hell. And he's not so interested in just going places to see things. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I'd like to go see. I was talking to some devotees who went to see the icebergs in Alaska. I was in Seattle, and they said, well, we got on a boat, and we took the boat all the way from Seattle to Alaska. We saw these beautiful pieces of frozen water. Because they didn't say frozen water. They said icebergs. You know, so what is there to see? Because what a devotee has, spiritual vision, you can see Krishna. I mean, just like when you read. Last night I was reading the Bhagavatam about the talks between Vidura and Uddhava. And I was reading, and at the same time I was seeing in my mind's eye. You know, the thing I learned, even before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, I don't know if I've joined yet, but even before I joined, the thing I learned is when you read and you use your imagination, or your vision, your internal vision, even materially, you can travel all over the place at the speed of the mind. And it doesn't cost any money. And you don't have to sit in some stupid airline seat as someone's eating chicken next to you. Right? You know, I mean, we travel but for preaching, not for sightseeing. Oh, I'd like to see the Harbour Bridge in Australia, in Sydney, or the Eiffel Tower, or the guards changing in the Buckingham Palace. Who cares about some moleches just walking back and forth with some funny headgear? So anyway, so John, getting back to the story, sorry about this. He was in prison and he was happy. And then the king or whoever was in charge decided, you know, we got to kill this guy. And so, you know, in those days they had like interesting ways of killing people. It wasn't simply lethal injection. It was just like putting him in front of an elephant. Just like Hiranya Kashipu had so many nice way, inventive ways of trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj, right? It's really cool how they used to kill people or attempt to kill people. So he put Chand Roy in front of this mad elephant. And the mad elephant, Chand Roy was rushing up, the mad elephant was rushing up to Chand Roy. And Chand Roy just reached out and pulled off the elephant's trunk. I mean, don't try that. It's not going to work for most of us. So he pulled off the elephant's trunk, and of course, the elephant didn't have a good time after that. And so he was saved. He was saved by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the whole point is that one has to, if one wants that protection, one has to, Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. That's a really important point. Sarvadharman Puricheja. You give up all these other concepts of something that's going to protect you, the rings you have to wear. Just like I was looking at someone's horoscope the other night and said, they should wear a sapphire ring. I didn't say that to them because they would just get into it. They said, where's this sapphire ring? Where's this emerald? And so you look like a king, you know, with all the rings and everything like that. So we have this whole conception we have to counteract. I mean, I get these letters all the time. You know, one lady was saying yesterday, my husband's really bad. He may be. But he's going through his Saturn period. That explains it. And I said, that's nonsense. Well, if he's not chanting, it's not nonsense. But if he is, if you're surrendering to Krishna, then Prabhupada said, with the tip of his toe, Krishna can kick away millions or trillions or quadrillions of Rahus. He didn't mention Saturn. This Prabhupada didn't mention Saturn. That doesn't count? No. You know, it's like... And then we have that whole story we told about Hanuman. You know the story of Hanuman. Saturn came to him and Hanuman said, sit on my head. And Hanuman began to put all sorts of stuff, stones on his head too, after Saturn said. And Saturn said, can I get out of here? And Hanuman said, yes. So anyone who worships Hanuman and Saturn affects them for a few seconds. Plus it's auspicious. You know, even if Saturn affects you, because you're Krishna conscious, it will be part of your devotional career and advancement. But devotees have all these different things. It's just unbelievable. Sometimes I wonder if I join the International Society for Superstition Consciousness or Paranoid Consciousness or... Anyway. And I hear all these things from devotees sometimes about all these conspiracy consciousness. I said, I just want to chant Hare Krishna and remember Krishna's pastimes. They say, no. Have you heard about the heart conspiracy? Have you heard about this conspiracy, that conspiracy? How they, you know, all these things, you know. I mean, certainly there's things you got to deal with, like, you know, about the changes in the books and everything like that. You have something, but people get into these things. I'm getting a little dramatic. So people get into these things, but, you know, Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. Of course, the Sharanam, as Prabhupada said, surrender or become closer, that's what Sharanam means. Also, another word of surrender is Prapajante. That's commonly used. So the Sharanam has these six principles which Srila Prabhupada mentions, that Krishna is always protecting me. Prabhupada said, One of the processes of surrender is that one should simply depend on Krishna. And another point is Krishna is always maintaining me. There's six. I'm not going to go through all six right now. So that if one is ekam sharanam braja, you have to really be ekam, like completely dependent on Krishna. If you want to take care of things yourself, then Krishna said, let him try and see if it works. Isn't it? He wants to worship the demigods. All right, let him do it. He's not Mamekam Sharanam Braja, but you know, let him try and see how well it works. And then after he gets smashed a few times, then maybe eventually he'll come to Mamekam Sharanam Braja. Of course, these six principles of surrender, especially understanding that Krishna is protecting you, was mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the 16th chapter, text 1, about the quality of a sannyasi. Ubhaya sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga yavastiti. What is a sannyasi? That's the first quality. If a sannyasi is fearful, not only fearful that, you know, someone's going to attack me, and even if someone does, it's Krishna's will, but fearful that my needs won't be taken care of. Where will I find companionship? Where will I find love? Where will I find food? Where will I, you know, all the basic needs a human being has, air, food, water, light. But a sannyasi has to be determined that wherever he goes, Krishna's going to protect. And Krishna's going to provide like that. So therefore, abhaya sattva samshuddhi yada yoga vasati. Anyway, so these are some of the topics of poshana, or protection, which is one of the main topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Radha Gopinanda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.